Okay. Victor and Suzanne, we're going to do a little bit of introducing ourselves. Victor, you've been a previous guest. I guess you had an interview with Chris Bessler, and it was a remote interview during the pandemic, but you're here now live in the studio. So why don't you tell us a little bit about you, how you got to Sandpoint, and what you're doing here as the East Bonner County director.
Sure, yeah. Thank you for having us this morning. I'm originally from Sweden, Gothenburg, Sweden, and I've lived in the U.S. since 2011. I've worked in a number of libraries in the Southern California area, and I came up here to North Idaho in November 2021 as the director, and I came to visit the area, and I was fell in love with it immediately, and I was very excited to join this team, and it's been a really interesting year. It's been a lot of fun. I think we've gotten a lot of interesting things moving, and I think there's a lot more coming up. Throughout my career, kind of the two main things that I've focused on has been community engagement, and specifically making sure that those that we are not currently sufficiently engaged with, that we are deepening our relationships with those groups in the community. But then also organizational health is also a big priority for me, and making sure that the internal organization, the internal community, is healthy and well-functioning, which then enables us to make these strong connections with the rest of the community.
So backing up just for a moment to your personal side of getting here to Sandpoint, you said you came to visit. What did you like about this North Idaho area that kind of made it possible for you to say, yes, I want to come and live here?
Well, I mean, it's beautiful, of course. It was very, very beautiful. I came here for the interview. The trustees rented me a red sports car.
Well, that cinched the deal, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think that was intentional, but that just happened to be what the vehicle was. So I was able to cross the long bridge with the top down. Yeah, so that was a good experience. And then, you know, I liked the just the look of everything in the community. And I liked that there's a health food store. I liked there's a great coffee roaster, Evans Brothers. You know, these types of things that you appreciate in your day-to-day life. And then you know, just meeting the staff, both at the Clark Fork location and also at the Sandpoint location, made me feel like, oh, yeah, this is a good place for me.
Did you, when you're talking about organizational development and health, was the relationship with the board an important aspect of that for you?
Yes, certainly. And we are very fortunate to have a very involved and informed board as well. I think they've been carrying a lot of heavy load, certainly throughout the pandemic, and getting involved on a level that, you know, most library trustees historically would not have to, making some tough decisions. So I'm very fortunate to have such a good board. And we have another trustee election coming up. There's a trustee seat that's becoming available in May. So there will be an election on May 16th of this year. So
Just briefly, how does that work as far as getting the word out? So there might be a couple people applying for that position and up for that election. How do you anticipate getting to know who these people are so you can be an informed voter?
So they will likely, in our last trustee election, they actually campaigned. So they actually did speaking engagements, and they did media appearances to kind of get the word out about their candidacy and their platforms. So that's something that's going to be coming up as well. But we're not quite there yet. But in the coming months, that'll be happening.
Surely.
Yeah.
When I think about you coming, you were said San Diego, but when did you come to the United States from Sweden?
2011.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So anything about North Idaho that kind of felt a little bit like home?
Yeah, a little bit. I think the nature here is a bit more grandiose than Sweden, but it's pretty similar in a lot of ways. And Certainly, it's been refreshing to have a real winter as well. I haven't had a real winter since I was probably like 13, 14 years old, because the winters in Sweden are not that heavy anymore. Things are changing weather-wise.
Okay, before we get to Suzanne, and can't wait. Last time, I think when you talked to Chris, the reason you did the interview remotely, basically a recorded interview, was that we were still in the COVID situation. And did that curtail operations at the library, and have those been rebuilt? And are you rebuilding the patron usage of the library, and how are you doing that?
Yes. I was actually looking at these numbers just yesterday as well, and we are pretty much back in terms of the door count at our libraries. We're pretty much back to pre-pandemic levels at this point, which is really exciting. We have also, throughout the pandemic, seen an increase in the usage of our digital library. I think historically that's always something that libraries kind of have struggled with. Like, how do we make the transition for people from using, you know, paper books to also exploring e-books and e-audiobooks? And I think that's, you know, you should always try to find silver linings. And I think that was a silver lining for us, that people actually felt that this was available to them. It was very, very much right there. And I think that usage has gone up, and it's staying that way.
So was the digital library offering from the library expanded during the pandemic to meet that need?
Yeah.
And that's the silver lining.
Yes.
It's become an important part. People have gotten used to that, and it's still reading. It's still getting the information and being informed and
absolutely
inspired. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
That sounds very good. Anything else that you said, the count is back to normal, basically?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we also had a number of staff members leave the library at the beginning of the pandemic, and now one thing that I've been working on has been bringing the staffing levels up to where we were pre-pandemic, so that we're able to do all of this great work. And I think we have a really energized team, a lot of new people that have joined, some people that have come back, such as Suzanne, and it's been really really interesting, and I'm really excited to see what we will get into once we have our strategic plan as well.
Oh, that's exciting. We'll get to that in a minute. Suzanne Davis, I remember you being here before in the station, and that was quite a while ago.
It was.
And tell us a little bit about yourself, what you've been doing, and you came back, and your youth services librarian.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Hang on. Okay, try it again.
Okay. So a little bit about myself. Well, I guess I've actually only had my MLS for a couple of years now.
That's Master's in Library Science?
Okay. Yes. Okay. Sorry.
That's okay.
But I worked at the library for about 14 years and then left at the beginning of the pandemic and came back in October. A little bit about me. I really, really, really like the outdoors. I got to ski 60 miles last week.
And that's cross-country ski?
No, that's downhill. I would be amazing if I could ski 60 miles cross-country skiing. That's a lot.
That's it. So downhill, and you love skiing.
I do love skiing and, you know, kayaking and cycling. So
perfect place to live.
It's perfect place to live.
Yeah. And so you were with a library before. You were the children's librarian.
Yes.
And then now it's a youth services librarian. And so what's the difference, so to speak?
I'd say the difference is that we have Erin is our teen librarian, and so youth services oversees both of those departments.
Okay.
So we have a
expanded job title.
Expanded services.
Okay. So why don't you give us a little picture of you left and then you came back. Did you leave during the pandemic?
I left in March of 2020. So
okay,
yes.
Right then.
Right then, yeah.
And was the reason because of what was going on?
Yeah. So, I mean, it was watching what was going on in China, and, you know, the school districts were talking, and I have two stepkids and my son. And that was just going to be a lot at home.
So you homeschooled, yeah?
Well, we were all forced to homeschool. Yeah, we were. School became online, and all of a sudden there were three kids at home who had to complete all of their
academics. It made sense.
Yeah, and actually it was really fun to hang out. And, you know, I know that people in the city were, you know, stuck in their apartments, but we just went on lots of hikes. We didn't see very many people at all. We went, saw the outside, and we saw our house.
So now you're back, and you came back. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your job and what your sort of your personal mission is within this, the library itself for the youth services.
Okay. So my job is kind of serve as the children's librarian within that greater title of youth services coordinator, youth services librarian. We do have a part-time teen librarian. She works 3 days a week. So I supervise her, but then I also do some things with teens. I cover the teen lounge a couple of hours a week. We have a teen lounge that's open 10 hours a week. And then I'm helping her co-teach a sandwich cooking class next week. So it'll be her first time, like, I think, teaching a class kind of like that. So just a little bit of mentorship there. And then on the children's side, you know, I do have an assistant who does some story times, but then I also do story times and outreach in the community. We are right now looking for an apartment building complex that might be willing to do some outreach programs with us this summer. Like, we're looking for one that has a high family residency there, and then doing a couple of programs throughout the summer. And we may have found one yesterday, so that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, I think about the one behind Super One Foods.
I haven't looked at that one yet, mm-hmm. but I did make it out and look at a couple in Ponderay yesterday and got to talk to their apartment manager.
So outreach programs to high-density apartment living areas that you would bring the youth to participate and to facilitate?
Yeah, so still working on designing the program, and depending on what the age group is, it could be a story time, it could just be like, choose a free book, and here are like 3 or 4 activities we're doing today, and then let's see if we can get more groups into like one of the parks and do even a bigger program that way. I mean, when we just do programs at the park, a lot of our library families who are, you know, well established to going to the libraries just follow us, and so we would like to find some new families who will then become library families.
Sure.
So, yeah, the big idea here is, again, the community engagement and connecting with those that maybe might, for some reason, have a hard time actually making it to our physical locations, and bringing the library to them in different ways. And we're doing that for all ages at this point. We had to suspend our outreach program during the pandemic. We used to go to senior living facilities, and we have resumed that, and we are actually going to the senior center now for like a lunchtime program every other week. So those services are also being brought back and expanded upon beyond what they were prior to the pandemic.
I think that's wonderful. I know before the pandemic, my mother was at assisted living, and someone from the library would come every so often, ask her interests, sit down with her, talk to her, and then show up with some books that might be of interest. And it was a wonderful program for those folks that, you know, didn't get to participate at the library. I love the word community engagement. If I had anything to we'll hear about your strategic plan, but it sounds like that's an important element in that. And we could get to that right now. So that's going on. You're working on a strategic plan. It has a survey with it. I don't know, is the survey still open?
Yes, we're keeping the survey open through the end of next week. So if you are interested in sharing your thoughts on libraries and also the experience of living in this community and what your aspirations for the community are and also the challenges that you may see, you can go to our website. It's ebonnerlibrary.org/survey. There'll also be a pop-up window that comes up when you go to our website, ebonnerlibrary.org, and you can click to enter into that survey there. That's very helpful for us. We sent out a mailer to 13,500 households. I don't know if you received one. Yeah, no.
I'm a P.O. box.
Oh, I see. Yeah. I don't know how that was selected.
But I did take the survey.
Perfect.
Friends all over. I had many, many people forward it to me.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, that's another way to get it the word out, is just forward it if you get one, email-wise, and I took the survey. It was very easy. It was great questions, and it was very didn't take that long to do.
I'm glad to hear that. That's a great pitch. So, so in addition to that survey, we've also conducted a number of community conversations that we've hosted at the libraries, but also in other locations throughout the district, where we've sat down with community members to learn more about them. Again, going back to the, what kind of community do people want to live in? How are their aspirations different from what they are seeing right now in the community? With the idea that then, us as library professionals, we can take this information and we can sit down with it, theme it out, and then make decisions about how can the library assist with this? In what ways can the library support current aspirations or address certain issues? And maybe that it has to do with creating services or programs, but it can also have to do with continuing the conversation down a certain path with key stakeholders as well.
It would be pretty hard to know what the community's aspirations, as you say, are sitting in an office, but reaching out through a survey or through these community conversations is, you're right there. You're with the people.
Yeah.
And that integration, that physical integration, really means something. Mm-hmm. And people respond differently.
Yeah, I think so. And I think that's one of the things that we learned too, just the actual experience of sitting down together with people that you don't know, but people that live close to you that might have very different opinions than you do, and learning more about those people is kind of a healing activity in itself too.
True. Okay, so the strategic plan is coming up. You have a survey out. Again, that's eastbonnerlibrary.org.
eBonnerLibrary.org.
eBonnerLibrary.org.
Yeah.
And there'll be a button you can click and participate that way. Or you could probably go into the library and someone would help you if you needed wanted to take it right there, the survey. So why did this strategic plan come about now? What is the main purpose? How many years does it, you know, reach out? Is it a five-year plan, a strategic plan? And how will it guide the library's operations? And, you know, timeline for upgrades. I'm sure you have future thoughts and directions for people who want to provide their input.
Mm-hmm.
What is the purpose and where are we at with it?
Sure. Yeah. So the strategic plan will basically help us revise our mission statement and our vision statement. It'll also provide us with different goals that will outline how we will actually meet, or live up to and embody our mission statement. And the reason why this process of community engagement and the process of really collecting a lot of information from the community is so important is because I think a really well-functioning public library is built by the people with the people. And that's kind of an ongoing thing. It's not only something that is reserved to the strategic planning process, but it does help in order to make like really grounded decisions that actually reflect the aspirations of this community that we're serving. I never want to be a person that makes decisions in a vacuum. And I know that we share that as well. We are always looking to learn more about the people that live in this community, the people that use the library, but certainly also the people that may not see a need for it. All of those conversations are really interesting, I think.
Absolutely. So the strategic plan is vital.
Yes, absolutely.
For that mission of the library to be of the people, by the people, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. Okay. And to answer your question, at this point, it looks like the strategic plan will probably carry us into 3 years forward or so. Some strategic plans go further into like 5-year kind of plans, but I don't really necessarily think that that is sustainable, because I think things are changing quite a bit. Recent events have propelled change, and I think that change is continuing. So I don't think we should stick to the same document for too long. We need some fresh oxygen into that on a regular basis.
Very good. And Suzanne, how are you participating in the strategy? The youth are everything here at CareFly. We want to get more students in to have broadcast shows because their voice is vital, as we use that word, to looking to the future. We have to be engaged with them too. So how does your program fit into the strategic plan? What are you looking for?
Well, I'm not on that committee. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, we're very much about engaging families and teens and kids of all ages. I mean, the Youth Services Department provides programs and materials for checkout, materials for usage from 0 to 18. So, I mean, we have a variety of collections. Just on top of our regular books, we have, you know, audiobooks like the rest of the library. We have Wonder Books, which are books that read to you. You have the book as well as you can click the read to you portion. We have great kits. We have literacy kits as well as STEM kits. We started those a few years ago with a grant with Head Start, and then over the pandemic really expanded the number of kits that families could do together to learn about different concepts. Just the other day, I helped someone find a bird watching kit that we have. That's for slightly older. I think that one's geared towards teens, but you don't have to be a teen to check it out. But there's kits on arts and crafts, and there's kits on learning phonics, and there's kits on engineering. So just stuff that you can do at home. And I've lost the trail of the question.
Well, I'm thinking when you were talking, you mentioned that families and children families working together or in being engaged, again, that word, together. How does that strengthen a student, a young person? We talked about early reading together with your child. You could go in any direction you want with this. But I think that especially the teenage, you know, we think they're teenagers now, they're off on their own. But what they really need is a strong family feeling. And going bird watching, going camping, playing music together, things like that can be the difference in their future in so many different ways. So I'll let you go with, you can go to the early reading, you can go with how families working together. I'll let you decide.
Well, and I just want to mention, you mentioned music. We are going to launch our Library of Things very soon, and we will have a couple of guitars that were donated by the Music Conservatory of Sandpoint that will be ready for checkout. And I'm not... March, right? Is that the...
We're hoping March.
But there's also... telescopes for checkout, family activity right there, or, you know, an activity with all of your older friends on a weekend night. So it's not just families. It's meant to serve everyone. I do think that the library provides a lot of programs for families or just individually for kids or for teens. And engaging with your family is so important because with all of the technology that we get sucked into, I know that in my conversations with teachers of young children, you know, preschool teachers and kindergarten teachers, kids whose parents are spending a lot of time online are coming in with fewer skills and missing some of the social emotional skills. And so the library, story times, we encourage the families to participate, the parents to participate with children, and, you know, share early learning, early literacy techniques. And these are some simple things that you can do. You know, this is how to do a rhyming game. This is how to talk about narrative skills, which is just telling a story, you know, talking about the day backwards. These are just ways to have different conversations with your kids. So it's not just all business talk. Everyone does business talk with their kids. Go get your boots and meet me at the door. But as a society, we're doing less play talk. And play talk really significantly contributes to the word count that children hear before they enter kindergarten. So we need that play talk. And I think we demonstrate in our story times how to do play talk. And if you don't know what I mean by play talk, it's just sitting down with your kids and let's pretend to make a pizza, and what do you want on your pizza? And you just asking them questions and engaging and pretending like it's that pizza restaurant. you know, singing songs, playing rhyming games. Those are all play talk. They increase the number of words children hear. The more words they hear before kindergarten, the easier time they have learning to read. Have a great 1,000 Books Before Kindergarten program that encourages people to read to their children before kindergarten. In talking with the 4-year-old, we use about 7 rare words per 1,000, but picture books use 31 rare words per 1,000. And when people complain about comic books use over 50 rare words per 1,000. So those are significant increase in vocabulary. I know I'm all over the place here, so.
This is very interesting and so true.
Yeah.
And when you're talking about rhyming games and I think about the old nursery rhymes that we all heard. Mm-hmm. Mary Had a Little Lamb and all those ideas. Children respond, especially the very young children. Mm-hmm. And then as you grow up, there's other things you can do. Cooking with a 7-year-old. We were talking about knitting with a 7-year-old.
Yeah.
How that really invokes their will development and a foreign language. There must be, in your library, children's foreign language programs. I mean, I would imagine.
Well, we don't have any programs. However, we do have 3 databases.
That's what I meant.
That, yeah.
Online things that their families could get. Let's learn to speak another language.
Mm-hmm.
And this month, we actually are doing a program for homeschooling parents where we will show them 2 of the databases and how to use them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's on a Friday later in the month.
And for adults online, you have Mango.
Yep. That's one of them. That's usable by all languages. All ages.
Oh, okay.
All ages, yeah.
And Rosetta Stone was another one that was added more recently as well. Yeah.
That's the other one we're going to be talking about.
Yeah.
And then there's also Pronunciator on there. So we're not going to talk about that one, though, because that's 3 in one day is a little much.
Yeah.
So, Suzanne, I just want to remind the listeners, KRFY listeners, thank you for tuning in this morning. I'm here in the studio with the East Bonner County Library Director, Victor Kurberg. Why don't you say your name for me?
Sure. It's Kurberg.
Kurberg.
Yes.
And your Youth Services Librarian, Suzanne Davis. And we're talking about our wonderful library. They're working on a strategic plan that will take us into the next 3 years because the library wants to be have the community engaged and forming the picture of the library. And you can actually take a survey right now by going to ebonnerlibrary.org and participate, become part of the library patron group, and have your voice heard. So let's get back to this thought about the importance of the library and how it can inspire, inform, and engage people in all different ways as a family, as individuals. But before the show started, we were talking about the third place. Who would like to speak to that? You both can.
Well, so the third place, so it's just the idea that we have 3 places that we spend a lot of our time. Home is one of those, work, or if you're a student, school, and then everyone has a third place. What is the third place that you go? I mean, it could be your best friend's kitchen table. It really could be. But for a lot of people, the library is that third place. You don't have to buy anything to be there. You don't have to fit in with a certain group to be there. You can just have it as your third place that you're comfortable. And we see a lot of people use it as their third place. I mean, there's families that hang out in our children's area and just read, you know, for, you know, an hour in the morning if they're homeschooling families or right after school. And I think for a lot of those families, it is the third place. And we see that upstairs with a lot of adults, too, that come in regularly, use our computers, you know, use our reading lounge and chat with the staff. And it's just, it's their third place that they're able to get out of their house or, you know, away from work. And probably becomes even more important as you retire, I would assume.
Yeah.
The idea.
And I think our meeting rooms, both in Clark Fork and in Sandpoint, is another good example of that too. And they're very well utilized, and they're open to everyone that wants to use them. And the only thing is that all of the events that go on in these rooms are also need to be open to the public. So you can't have private meetings in these meeting rooms. They're all open to the public because they're meant to support, they're part of the library's mission of providing access to discovery and lifelong learning and connection for that matter as well. So yeah, I do think that the idea of third place is still growing, and I think there's more that can be done as well. I will say that one of the things that I'm very passionate about is finding individuals and groups in the community that we can partner with and figure out, like, how do our individual missions and goals align, and how can we work together to provide experiences and opportunities for connection in the community.
I'll just throw out an interesting thought. There's a community radio station in Spokane called KYRS, and they just moved into the public library that was just redone. And they actually, the library created on the third floor a broadcast studio for KYRS. It's community, it's a nonprofit, and they have a whole section where people can come in and do recording, play instruments, get engaged, just like what you're saying. When you think about community radio, our byline is, or our mission is, to provide programming that educates, informs, entertains, and enriches the lives of its listeners. But I always say that it's informative, inspirational, and that's what you're talking about. So they found a perfect partnership with the community radio station there in Spokane.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. So that's kind of some of the things you might be looking for.
Yeah.
And creating the... allowing the library to be what it was meant to be, a third place, like you were talking about, Suzanne.
And another big concept that this, like, has emerged throughout the years is, like, the library as platform too. Like, is seeing the library as a platform for whatever it is that you want to pursue and enrich yourself and develop yourself, and the library can be that for you. It's a very open platform in that sense.
We have all kinds of things. Our STEM coordinator, he offers digital art classes and 3D printing classes and
virtual VR, reality.
Yes, all kinds of things. And then, you know, we're just finishing up a knitting class in the children's area, as well as, you know, we do the story times, and last week we celebrated World Read Aloud Day by learning how to write a community story, and our teen librarian is doing cooking class next week, but she's also had Scott Buchenugen in from one of the banks to teach kids how to manage their finances and how to start a business. And so we try to meet a variety of interests, not just entertainment, but educational, where you can learn new things and try to offer a lot of stuff. We made slime a couple weeks ago at the library. So just trying to hit all kinds of different interests and maybe start a new interest for someone, expose someone to something that might become a passion of theirs.
And then to the old-fashioned idea of the library is books. And I know that someone sent me a book title, and they said it just came out, probably won't be at the library, but I checked online, and it was there. And I was in line to get it. It's already a whole bunch of people wanted it. But so how do you curate, or how do you find what book would be the next book to purchase? Are you always purchasing books? Ongoing, yes. And continual.
Yes, we keep up on the review journals, and there's... So several of us do collection development, is what that's called.
Okay.
And there's a lot of different resources for that, independent publishers, as well as just the review magazines that, you know, I think authors and their publishers send manuscripts or send books to people to review, and it goes in. I don't know how they decide exactly what goes in, but then you got to look at the independents as well. And we have, I think, four people who do collection development. Does that sound right? Vanessa, Michael, me, and Aaron.
And if they pick a book, does it have to go through a process of just, you know, we have the money, yes, let's get that book. It's up on the top of the list of library choices or something like that?
Yeah, and there's a multitude of criteria depending on that. But yeah, each selector has a budget allocated to them. Mm-hmm. That, but I also want to say as well that, again, going back to the community aspect, if we don't have a book, we always welcome a suggestion from the community as well, and people can submit those in the library or through our website. And mm-hmm. if we're not able to get a book for some reason or another type of material like a DVD, we can also... we can also do interlibrary loan for books as well. So we usually it's very rare that someone that requests a book does not end up getting that book. It might take a little bit longer if it's coming from out of the area, but we appreciate that too.
Yeah. So what else do we want to talk about? I know, Suzanne, you didn't want to just do a list of programs. And in your talking today, you've really given us a great picture of how you meet and bring exciting thoughts, ideas, and ways for people to expand their base of engagement in the world. Yeah. So anything new on the horizon?
Well, I think one thing I'd like to say about that is I always welcome people's thoughts on, oh, it'd be so great if the library could do this. We can't always. I mean, because some things are just beyond our budget, or maybe it takes a skill that we don't have access to someone with that skill. And I love when people want to volunteer and they have a skill or an interest that we can share with the community. That is so wonderful. That is, a lot of the programs that we've done are because volunteers come in and they have a skill. Mm-hmm. My knitting class, my kids' knitting class, it's loom knitting because, you know, knitting with the sticks is a little bit more complicated when you're in fourth grade. Not that you can't do it, it just would take us a lot longer. It started because I had a volunteer who's a fabulous knitter, and I am skilled enough to help them, but if there's a problem, my solution is, let's take it all out. Her solution is like, let me like move this around in your knitting mm-hmm. and fix the hole. So I can't do that. So we can do that program because we have a volunteer with that skill. So I just want to put this out to your community. If you have a skill or an interest that you would love to share, we would love to talk to you about that. Right, Victor?
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Yeah. And, you know, find a way to share that.
Sure. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about the guitars. Mm-hmm. You know, before you would lend out a guitar, someone might need a lesson on how to tune the guitar mm-hmm. and how to care for it. And if you're going to borrow it, here, you know, just a little introduction to it of some sort, unless they're already a guitar player. They probably have their own guitar by then.
Right.
So just, you know, people, there's plenty of musicians and plenty of guitar players around that would be absolutely happy to kind of help set up a little appointment for when they are going to check out that guitar. And what would you call it? Instructional.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, or something like that. Or
right.
any other skill that you have that would enhance and support.
That's a really good idea. It might be hard to navigate to set up the appointments, and it doesn't mean that we can't try and see if we can do
or give them the option.
Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Here's somebody that might help you learn to tune, and here's five chords.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, totally.
Well, that's a great idea. I think that's I'm glad you brought that up, because like connecting people with local expertise, I think, is really, really helpful. And like
On both sides,
yeah. Mm-hmm. And we have our lifelong learning program as well, where, you know, learners of all ages, school-age children and adults and seniors can be matched up with a tutor, whether they need help with algebra or they need help with their new smartphone. Mm-hmm. You can meet one-on-one with someone and really have a deep learning experience. And sometimes tutors and learners meet for a really long time and really help children that are struggling in school, for instance, get through those struggles with someone else that's an expert in the community. So I think that's a really important program, and we're always looking for volunteers for that tutoring program as well. So that's another thing that is available through our website, or you can come in and chat with us about it.
Sure. Mike Bauer was part of the library, and he was also one of our broadcasters. He's in Michigan now.
Right.
And we love him, and he's still sending us his shows every week.
Oh,
so
good.
We still get Mike Bauer's, he called himself something other than Mike Bauer on the radio, but he did the 70s and 80s show. So Yeah, he was great at that. And the lifelong learning program is alive and up and running.
Absolutely.
So what else do we want to talk about, Victor? Open mic, what do you want to say to let the patrons and residents know about the library and what's coming up?
Sure. Well, I can share a little bit about just in terms of what we've learned so far through our strategic planning process and the community conversations that we've had. It's been quite fascinating to hear the themes that have come out of that. And the most common thing in terms of aspirations that people referenced, and it was three or four times more common than anything else that was brought up, was that people aspired to have a connected community. And with our mission being providing access to discovery, connection, and lifelong learning currently, that connection part seems to be where our business might be growing even further in the future. And so people also talked about education, safety, being in a community where their voices are heard, and being in a community where there's respect present throughout. People talked, in terms of the issues, people talked about division, polarization, and feeling misunderstood in terms of their value system. And I think that was very interesting to hear that from people that are, you know, based on what they're sharing, might be on opposite sides of the political spectrum, but they're both having the same experience, and they're able to get together face-to-face with other people and share that experience and see that, yes, we might disagree on certain issues, but our experience of living in this community is similar. What can we do to work on that together?
Common ground.
Right. So I think that's been really fascinating to follow, and I'm glad that we've taken this time with the strategic plan to really make sure that it is grounded, and that it is, that I've also spent enough time here to be able to make some sort of, you know, provide some kind of diagnosis on what's going on and what things are looking like, and not just come in and change things quickly, because that's certainly not what I want to do.
It sounds like the library has the perfect opportunity, and has been that, to be the listening voice, listening to the voices of the community in a super objective way, and then possibly identifying those places or ways to hear each other as citizens in the community.
Yeah.
Like a conduit of some sort. But really listening.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a skill we all can learn.
It's very easy to want to give someone an answer or provide someone with a solution or counter someone's point, but to just be genuinely committed to listening to another human being is really powerful.
And going through the survey, we can do another plug for the survey here in a second. You know, you're not hearing voices, but you're hearing responses to the questions that you put in the survey, and you know, identifying those responses and putting them into a picture. I'm wondering if there would be an opportunity, I'm always trying to think of things, but to have the community come in, selected, you know, possible random selected or whatever, small groups, to really have the library folks listen with a set group of questions. Just hear and then the people in the group could be listening too. Really learn the skill of listening. I don't know. Anyways, an idea.
Yeah. It sounds pretty similar to what we did with the community conversations.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's
what it is. I agree. It's a good idea.
So again, that survey.
Yes. ebonnerlibrary.org/survey. That's where you can find that. And it'll be open through the end of next week. So, and then we're going to close it all up, and we're going to hopefully start providing you with that strategic plan, or writing that strategic plan.
Who's analyzing the survey?
We have a team of at the library strategic planning committee that's been working on that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Big job.
Yeah, yeah.
So, Suzanne, anything last words you'd like to say?
So I just want to do maybe a plug for our 1,000 Books Before Kindergarten program. Mm-hmm. So this is a national program that encourages parents and caregivers to read 1,000 books to their children before they enter kindergarten. And it's, so there's four types of vocabulary out there. There's listening vocabulary, which you can see in a very young child. because a very young child knows who mama is, knows what a bottle is, even though that child is not even close to saying those words. So, and then listening vocabulary moves into speaking vocabulary. A child's not going to start speaking words they've never heard. You know, even mm-hmm. those sounds that they make are an attempt to say, to communicate certain mm-hmm. words. Mm-hmm. And even for us, we have to hear a word about 12 times before it comes into our listening vocabulary and then our speaking vocabulary. And then if something's not in our speaking vocabulary, it won't move into our reading vocabulary. So when something's in our speaking, so to say mm-hmm. that positively, when something's in our speaking vocabulary, it moves into our reading vocabulary. Sure. So the more words we hear, the more words we know, the easier it is to learn to read. Just going to reiterate that picture books have a lot more rare words than just speaking to children. And that doesn't mean crazy words. That just means words we don't use on a regular basis, mm-hmm. like microscope or sparkly. Unless your daughter's really into princesses, then you might use sparkly a lot.
Right.
So,
a thousand books
before kindergarten. And we have that online. So just go to the library website, click on kids, and under reading programs, you can register for 1,000 books before kindergarten. We have cute little bags, cute little iron-on patches that you can earn, and you're helping your child prepare to be a great reader.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Anything else, Victor?
I did want to just mention also that we have, the opportunities for connection and learning extend beyond what we've mentioned so far as well. For instance, in Clark Fork, we have on Friday mornings a flex and mobility class that's taught by a local teacher. And we're happy to announce that in March 4th on Saturdays, we're going to be providing yoga classes every Saturday at the Sandpoint Library. And we have a local yoga instructor named Drew that's going to be leading everyone, no matter what your skill level is or prior experience, through yoga. Sure. And so I think those types of things are things that we're experimenting with and seeing what the interests, where the interests lie with the community. And so far the response has been really positive.
Well, we have a wonderful library. I would say it's probably the best library in the world, but that's just my opinion. So thank you so much, Victor. I'm going to say this. Horba?
Yes.
Close. Victor.
yes.
Bonner County, East Bonner County Library Director and Youth Services Librarian Suzanne Davis. Thank you so much for coming in and sharing the library with our listeners here at 88.5 KRFY on the morning show. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.